Welcome to podcast episode number 12, Never Say No Again. And you will learn that in this episode, which is based on an experience or a video I watched, where there was a large audience in a hall, and it was about the topic of motivation, self-motivation, and that we give too much time to others and far too little to ourselves. And that's where we are already full. So I went along completely. And then during this seminar, there was this magical phrase, every yes to others is often a no to yourself. And indeed, they then repeated it in chorus. Every yes to others is a no to myself. And it gets a certain reinforcement. And now this might initially sound logical to you or even good for you. Yes, I should say no much more often. How often do I say yes and feel bad about it? I am of the opinion that this sentence is completely wrong. And it also leads to a false image in the head, in the subconscious, and certainly does not make you more popular and reliable with others. More reliable, maybe, because they know you say no, but that is not the goal. And I'll give you another sentence, namely the definition of stress in relation to saying yes or no. Stress is, in fact, when you say yes, but feel no. And possibly this sentence at the beginning, every yes to others is then a no to myself. Maybe it went in this direction, but it has a completely different effect. And we'll take a look at that in today's episode. Saying yes and not feeling a no, and thus not having stress, that would be the logical goal of people who have the corresponding preparation. Like you. You listen to this episode, you've listened to the previous episodes, and we're going to go through it step by step. Don't worry, this won't be an esoteric episode. It won't be a meditative episode. You also don't need to jump into an ice bath at dawn in Demmerberg, and no YouTube stream or hip hop will be involved. None of that. It's purely straightforward, practical. So no worries. Just listen, think about it. And at the end, I have a few very practical examples where you might say, yes, that can't go on constantly. Maybe I just haven't thought about it that way before. Why do we even have a bad feeling about saying no? So why does it often turn into a yes? And there are basically three points. The first point, fears and worries. If I say no, then something bad happens. I disappoint someone, for example. Point two, not knowing your own goals and resources. So you might not have a clear picture of your goals, your plans, your possibilities, your time commitment, your calendar. This doesn't apply to any of you as you hear this because you are already much further along. Or point three, the worst of all. One doesn't make a conscious decision at all. Instead, it is decided for someone. One simply doesn't say no, not you, yes, but the other already assumes that you will just do it that way. And within each of us, there is a small driver model. Perhaps you know it, maybe you have heard of it somewhere else. It is a quite well-known model. A description, a picture of it, is like a kind of coachman's seat where someone is sitting and in front are harnessed donkeys and the coachman really speeds up, driving the donkeys. If you just thought you're the coach seat, no, in this image, you are the harness donkey at the front, and on top sits your, well, let's call it guilty conscience. But actually, it's your inner driver, and it pushes you with the words, be strong, be perfect, hurry up, be popular, do what others expect of you. Yes, maybe that sounds somewhat familiar to you. This is the driver model, and from it arises our fear, our apprehension of before saying no to someone. Because that results in something like, I am or feel no longer loved, I am no longer needed. Maybe in the job, I will be fired. Others have different expectations of me, so in fact, I am excluded from the group. And in early times, that was the criterion for death. If you were excluded from a group, then you were as good as dead, and that is still very, very deep stored within us. We can't do anything about it. It's just like that. We simply have to become aware of it at this point. And that's why I also find it anything but okay to program yourself. I'll just say no more often now, because the inner driver will become louder. You are dissatisfied. You have the feeling of being excluded, which many might even confirm because they don't ask anymore or are disappointed. So what can you do? So first of all, for this first complex of topics, just think about what happens when you really say no. Think about the last 2, 3, 4 situations where you said yes, but actually had a bad feeling, where you had this thing inside. Actually, I should have said no instead. Actually, I didn't have time at all. Actually, I had other plans. Actually, my desk was already full, but I just couldn't cancel it. What would have happened if you had said no? Would you have been fired? Would a friendship have ended? Would lightning have struck you? Maybe much smaller things. Someone else might have been disappointed in you. Yes, that is your assumption. But now comes point number two. Once you have made it clear to yourself what would have happened if you had said no, how likely is that? That it happens like that and that others think that of you. Is it really that likely? And that also reminds me of a conversation I had about 2 weeks ago where the reaction when we talked about it was, but I'm always told you just achieve more than others. Yes, do you notice it? The coachman writes, you achieve more than others, so you can also handle this here. It's expected of you. What would have happened? Let's really take this as an example now. What would have happened if not saying no, but if we make an alternative right away? But if one had come to the realization somewhere that I cannot complete this task now? Assuming the other person thinks I achieve more than others, it can't be bad if I don't take on this point too. But fundamentally, and perhaps some of you can relate, when someone tells you that you achieve more than others, you immediately think, then I can handle that too. Definitely. No, please don't. And then, so how likely is that? And the next point, is this fear and anxiety really realistic? So, is that going to happen? You don't do something at your job and you get fired. Really? Because in one thing you don't do. So if you then get fired, the likelihood, oh, not missing a teaser, one thing, then there were some other things. We're now going to point two first before we resolve the whole thing extensively. Point two was personal goals and resources. You don't have a clear picture of your goals, your plans, your possibilities. This could be the case. For example, if you don't have control over your calendar, or if you haven't sorted your tasks by important and urgent, or if you haven't checked your to-do list the night before to see if everything is in place for the day and have included and calculated a 20% buffer. And everyone who has listened attentively to the episodes up to this point will notice, okay, we've already talked about that. Somehow from episode to episode to episode, it not only makes more sense, but it also builds on each other. So here is also an invitation to everyone who might have skipped one or two episodes or joined in later. In a quiet moment during a drive or a walk, go back to episode one and then listen to everything from there. Some episodes, maybe even multiple times. So if you have everything under control now, you've made your to-do list, you've checked the calendar, then you would have an overview of your resources. And now it gets exciting because now you don't even have to say no. Now you can say yes. So the boss comes, puts the task on your desk and says it should be finished by this evening. And then you can look at your calendar and you already have a bit of a to-do list internally and think, okay, I have a bit of a buffer. Yes, I can handle it. Or, you know, exactly, no, I can't manage it. And in the future, we don't say no anymore. In such a case, we could then, for example, say, yes, I can do it tomorrow. You definitely say yes and always yes, but since you have an overview of your activities, it's not something completely non-committal where you say, no idea when I'm supposed to do this now. Somehow, I'll manage it if necessary by pushing back the end of the workday, canceling my free time, rescheduling other time slots. If you have any, planning everything through, and then chaos begins. And that must not happen. I will give you a second formulation for that besides, yes, I can do it then and then. Of course, I'd be happy to do it. Let me just take a moment to look and think. That means we are still considering the situation where someone is at your desk telling you to do this or that. Yes, of course, let me just take a moment to look and think. And now you are not only considering your calendar, but I highly recommend that you also look for and consider alternatives. Option one, you propose a date when you can do it. Option two, maybe there's someone better suited for it. Option three, it's not your task at all. Others don't have time, others have said no. And the refusals of others suddenly become your tasks because it's known that you offer little resistance in this regard. So, not your job. Or rather, you then bring a commitment with it. So, a brief sequence. Okay, let me quickly check and think. Are there alternatives? Is there an appointment? Is it even your job? Can someone else do it? That would be option two. Option three, this is still within point two, with the overview of your calendar and your to-do list. You ask follow-up questions. That's the most powerful tool ever. Trust me, I'll give you a few examples at the end, as mentioned, and they'll be listened to. You ask follow-up questions. Okay, what exactly do you need from me? What basic purpose or outcome should it have? What preliminary work exists that I can build on? Who can I turn to? Should there be interim results? How exactly do you envision the result? Questions are an incredibly powerful tool because now these little impulse things come up. Can you also do this and that? Yes, gladly. What basic setup should it have? Imagine it visually. Just these questions often make the person say, I'll think about it again. I'll take the topic with me again. I'll come back to you later. Certainly not. They won't come back to you later. Instead, they will go to someone else who can't say no. So, know your own resources, make plans. And now I'll give you another popular method for it, besides asking questions. What effort, what infatuation, what prior achievements, which I always love doing. Although, I will only tell you that once we are finished with this in the complex. Number three, you don't make a conscious decision. It is decided for you. Yes. And that is the biggest challenge of all, because you would probably be drawn to this sentence we had at the beginning. Every yes to someone else is a no to myself, because you would say, that gives me support. I also dare to say no sometimes, because then I'm unconsciously saying yes to myself. And I would invite you to do it differently. If you belong to this category of people, and this is not meant to be promotional at all, we are all individuals and all have our own little burdens to carry in one way or another. Memorize a phrase that gives you time to respond. This also applies to all those who say afterward, I didn't come up with anything quickly. Now I have it lying on the table. Damn, now I can't go and return it. But I wasn't so spontaneous, so responsive, so quick-witted. You learn a sentence by heart. For example, give me 10 minutes, then I'll call you back. Or I'll get back to you when I finish the current task. Or let me quickly check my calendar, then I'll let you know. That's a kind of stopping sentence. You say stop. Let me take a moment to think and then make a conscious decision about it and not have someone else decide for me. The three sentences were examples. Find your own sentence that suits you, one that doesn't say no, but says, sure, gladly. Give me just 10 minutes, then I'll be with you. No one will say no. You have to interrupt the task you're working on right now. What you currently find important is not important because I am finally standing at your desk now. That would have to be an extreme exception in this regard. And if you often receive such requests by phone, I have a great idea for you. Be like a property management company. You can achieve anything in life, just not the property management. Just be unreachable by phone. Let people leave a message on the answering machine. Let them write you an email. On my answering machine, because someone tried that before, there's a message. So there isn't one on the cell phone. And on the landline answering machine, there's a message saying that in urgent cases, it's better to send an email because it will be handled sooner and more efficiently than a phone message. So the vacuum cleaner. Now, we have looked at these three topics a bit, and now I'll give you a few practical examples where you say, yes, I know those, and they reflect exactly what we have just discussed. Only that you might possibly accept them there and not necessarily with regard to yourself. I go back to my time in the corporation. Yes, that was a few years ago, and yes, the computer technology wasn't up to today's standards, but problems with and on the computer. I believe they still exist today. What do you do then? You call someone who knows about it. In the company, it can be the IT department. Privately, it might be someone who knows about it or the Facebook group where you briefly write your problem. Think about it briefly. I'll count down from three. What's the first response you get when you say, I have problems with the computer here? And then you briefly describe it. What's the first response? Shut down the computer. We shut it down, start it up again, check if the problem persists. Exactly. You definitely came up with that. What is the second answer? You did that, now you're occupied for a while. By the way, the other person is just buying themselves time to find a new answer. Now you've been busy, it doesn't work. You contact again and say, it doesn't work. And I can say from my many years of concert experience, then the message came, okay, please write me an email, describe the problem in detail, and preferably include screenshots. And screenshots, we're not talking about today's time. My corporate experience was about 20 years ago or more. Back then, screenshots were rocket science. I would have had to ask someone else, how do I make screenshots on my computer and then send them via email somewhere? That often already solved the problem, and I was wondering if that's really the case now, which sometimes it wasn't. And to resolve it, when I said I somehow can't, it doesn't work, what did I do then? I said, okay, we'll set up a new computer, we'll bring the ordering person a place next to the old one. So they didn't take the problem very seriously. For them, there was a predefined solution. Step one, up, shut down, the other way, down, start up. Step two, describe with detailed screenshots. You can't. Step three, we replace the computer. This is an outstanding example of a great approach that you can also adopt from now on. Not in terms of computers, but just consider how pre-arranged it can be. However, I will give you further examples. Now, someone comes to you and says, could you please do this, that, and the other for me? And it doesn't matter at all whether it's a service provider, a friend, a supervisor, or a colleague. I have always liked to respond, I'd love to, but to make sure I do it exactly right, could you please send me the 10 most important points about this task by email, along with a specific statement of what the exact goal should be? Because then I can handle it very precisely and will certainly achieve the result you want. What do you think? How many emails came before that? Hardly any at all. Then my favorite yes task, or favorite yes saying, which I mentioned earlier, that, well, it's been a long time and I don't think my former boss will listen to this podcast. And if he does, best regards, we got along well. Except when he wanted something from me very spontaneously. And back then, I certainly didn't have the order and structure in my day like I do today. But basically, even back then, I was blue and structured. Blue in terms of the disk diagram and nothing. Yes, you know, if I misunderstand. And then I said to him, sure, I'll gladly do it for you. Well, of course, he was also a boss who often didn't tolerate contradiction. So when he said something, it was done. Maybe you know such people. And then I said, all right, I'll gladly do it. Can you do me a favor? Because if I do this for you now, then I won't be able to complete and submit this other task I have here on time, or I won't be able to attend this appointment. Can you please do me the favor and call Big Stipsy Don, or let him know that you have given me an important task and cancel with him? And that never happened. The reaction was always immediately, no, that's important too. I'll give it to someone else. And suddenly I didn't have the task on the table, but I did say yes. Do you notice that we say yes in every scenario? Now, I'll give you a situation from everyday life together with my dear daughter, Lena, the one who wanted to go into Douglas a week ago. Who knows this store and why is this Lena howling like a wolf? And she saw something there. I don't want to elaborate further because we are not doing any subliminal editing yet. Anyway, she says, I find that really cool. Yeah, I want to have that. Now, the impulse for parents is to say no, or to say, what's with the pocket money account or whatever? I then briefly had her explain to me, okay, why do you need this? Why is this cool? Maybe you know the answers too. It totally blew up on TikTok and was recommended. It's supposed to be really good. Okay, my answer is then yes. Then we'll see how we can get it cheaper. There must be some promotion from Douglas, some discount coupon, something we can research on the internet, and you'll do that by the next time we see each other. And if you have an adequate coupon, I'll give it to you and buy it. Now, two things happen. Option one, she doesn't research. Admittedly, with Douglas, that's very unlikely, at least with my daughter. She did research, and I can tell you, she found a 30% coupon. However, she was quite happy herself because she has since understood that all the points and discounts and whatever else Dad collects ultimately bring quite a bit. And then she had this code. And of course, as I promised, we went back to Douglas. But that item from last week wasn't that important anymore because there were really cool new recommendations on TikTok that are supposed to be really great. I don't mean it in a bad way, Lena, but I would listen to you. And that's why this item was no longer that important. And we actually ended up buying nothing. Although back then, Lena, I might have been inclined to buy one of them. Not for the next time, because she fulfilled her task and found this discount voucher. One more thing. At Immocation, I was repeatedly asked by our very dear mastermind mentor. She's unfortunately not with us anymore. But for years, dear Marianne, best regards if you're listening. Every month I was asked again, Marcus, would you take over a mastermind group? And, you know, we structured it with time planning and so on. And I have many other tasks and I allocate only certain blocks of time at Immocation. And it just fit. And I then promised her, already in the middle of last year, dear Marianne, in January, I will take over a group again. So she had a yes from me. Yes, in January, I will do it. No, please ask me more. But rather, in January, I will take over one. And now the following happened. Now she could tell our participants. If you want to join Marcus's group, then wait until January. You can join a group with someone else right away, but if you specifically want to be with Marcus, then January. This way, she was able to say yes to our participants. She didn't have to say yes, unfortunately not this month, I don't know, maybe we'll see next month, but she had commitment. And everyone appreciates that when you act like this, everyone. Also, what do these examples show now? Firstly, you are incredibly reliable. Secondly, you actually increase your popularity and reliability because others know exactly where they stand with you and almost always get a yes from you. But thirdly, you simultaneously make your capacities less accessible. You always say yes. And then you put it behind. In the end, it will definitely make you calmer, less stressed, and I promise you happiness. Because being more relaxed and less stressed alone ensures that you become happier. But not only do you become happier, as already mentioned, you also become more popular and reliable. And overall, you will also be perceived as friendlier because every no you give to someone, whether they see it as justified or not, is something they perceive. A devaluation, a negative remark. If you always make negative comments about someone, then you simply won't be perceived as extremely friendly. Furthermore, you won't be seen as popular, reliable, and calm either. In this respect, say yes. And now I give you a new sentence because I introduced it with this sentence, which I will not repeat. You surely remember it. I will now give you a new sentence, which is a bit more complicated, so we will say it twice. Carry a yes in your heart. Connected with a smile on your lips, while your mind clarifies how and under what conditions. Once again, carry a yes in your heart, connected with and on your lips, while your head figures out the how and under which conditions. So just always say yes. And you should definitely say yes now to 5 stars. If you haven't already done so, in rating this podcast. You should say yes to sharing it, maybe with someone who once said no to you, or someone you know who says too little no, then he can really say yes in the future and say, of course, you should say yes to subscribing to this podcast, which you might not have subscribed to yet with the little plus or follow. And of course, also say yes to the next episode. In any case, I'm looking forward to having you listen to the next episode again. It's hard for me to say because I don't hear you, but to receive feedback on the next and this episode, feel free to do so on Instagram at the.rendite.doctor. Feel free on all other channels, like in Singen, wherever you find me, I'm very pleased. And the title of this podcast is Success is Not Luck. But I believe, especially with this episode, we have contributed a lot to making it clear that today is a good day to be happy. And I hope I could contribute to that. We'll hear each other in the next podcast episode.